Asian Access is a Christian mission agency which works to share the gospel, to share Jesus with people in Southern Asia. And one of the countries in which they work is a predominantly Hindu nation. And so in order to protect their workers, they will not share the name of this nation. But church planters, people who have been sharing Jesus in this nation, were very pleased to find that there was a group of people who wanted to, they wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to express the fact that they were followers of Christ, and they wanted to be baptized. But the workers understood that these people needed to understand what it might mean to them to be baptized publicly as a follower of Jesus. And so they came up with a list of seven questions which would serve as a sort of a reality check to let them know what life might be for them after they were publicly identified as Christians. And so they came up with this list of seven questions for these people to answer. Number one, are you willing to leave home and lose the blessing of your father? Number two, are you willing to lose your job? Number three, are you willing to go to the village and those who persecute you, forgive them and share the love of Christ with them? Number four, are you willing to be rejected by the friends from your past? Number five, are you willing to be beaten rather than deny your faith? Number six, are you willing to go to prison? And number seven, are you willing to die for Jesus? We don't think here in the United States of baptism as being something dangerous, but there are places all over the world today where baptism is indeed perilous for people. And even here in the United States, baptism can be dangerous in the sense that there may be people who are offended by the fact that you have chosen to follow Christ. Is baptism dangerous? Is it perilous? Well, we're going to hear what Jesus has to say about that in our text today. And our text is John chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. But before we go any further, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we're coming today to baptize those who wish to follow and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're delighted to do that. But as in all things that have to do with the Christian life, there is a danger because there are those who are opposed to the Christian faith. There is a spiritual power in this world that greatly is opposed, that hates the good news of the gospel. And so anything we do for Jesus, anything we do publicly, he is going to oppose. And so we come to you today and we ask you, Lord, as we talk about the dangers of baptism, help us to put this in perspective. Help us to understand that while baptism is perilous, while it can be very dangerous for people in certain parts of the world and even in the United States, all the while you were there to surround us with your love and your protection and your grace and to strengthen us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, not to run from the fear. Help us, Lord, to confront it with boldness because we are followers of the Lamb who gave his life for us, and we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who died for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, why is baptism dangerous? What is the danger? Well, first, baptism is dangerous because it can offend people in power. It can offend people who are in power. If you look at the first two verses of John chapter 7, it says this. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Feast of Tabernacles was near. The text we're looking at today, is about how dangerous it was for Jesus to go to Judea. Now, when John says Judea, he is actually referring to a city in Judea the most famous city in all of Israel, and that is the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the location for the temple. Jerusalem was the location for the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And so Jerusalem was the spiritual capital of Israel. And Jesus, we're told, stayed away from Jerusalem because he knew that the religious leaders hated him and wanted to put him to death. And Jesus knew that his ministry had a farther to go. There was more he needed to do. And so he stayed away from Jerusalem so that his ministry could continue and he could carry out the full and complete plan of God. And then verse 13, toward the end of our text, says something else. It says, John says this about the common people in Jerusalem, not the religious leaders, but the ordinary, everyday, average Jewish people. He says, but no one would say anything publicly about him, that is, about Jesus, for fear of the Jews. When John uses that expression, the Jews, he's not talking about the Jewish people. He's talking about a very small, a very distinct, a very specific group of the Jews. He's referring to those religious leaders that I just mentioned a moment ago. Jesus avoided Jerusalem because the religious leaders hated him and they wanted to put him to death. And even the people who lived in Jerusalem didn't dare to bring up the name of Jesus. They wanted to talk about Jesus. They wanted to talk about all the things they had heard about him, but they did not dare to do that because they feared the wrath, the anger, the hatred of the Jewish religious officials. They thought that that hatred would be directed against them. And yet, despite all of this hatred, despite all of the animosity on the part of the religious leaders, verse 2 of our text says, when the Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus took his life in his hands, and he went to Jerusalem. Now, what in the world does the Feast of Tabernacles have to do with baptism? Why are we looking at a text today that has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, we are looking at the Gospel of John here on Sunday mornings, and we have come to chapter 7, the very beginning of chapter 7. Not only that, but the Feast of Tabernacles and baptism have a great deal in common. They have a great deal to do with each other. First, both are commanded by God. God commanded the Jewish people to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles each year, and Jesus commanded us, his church, to baptize all those people who choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who choose to follow him. Jesus told us that we are to baptize them. So both the Feast of Tabernacles and baptism have been commanded by God. Second, both recall the history of God's salvation. The Feast of Tabernacles was a remembrance of how God set the people of Israel free from their slavery in Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. You remember the mighty miracle he did when he parted the sea, and so that Moses could lead the people of Israel through the sea. And God brought them out of Egypt, but that's not all God did. God was bringing them to another land. Notice the promised land, the land of Canaan. But it took them a while to go from Egypt to Canaan. And during those years, as actually a period of close to 40 years, these people had to live. They had to live in the wilderness, and God told them how to do it. He said that they were to live in tents, our temporary structures. We're told this in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 42. These are the instructions God gave to the people of Israel about keeping this feast. And it says, God said to the people of Israel, live in booths for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in booths, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. So as they journeyed through the wilderness, God told them how to live, how they could protect themselves, how they could build these temporary structures, sometimes made out of branches that were woven together, sometimes made out of animal skins. But God told them how they could take care of themselves, and he protected them during this journey. So the Feast of Tabernacles remembers that. And how do the people, How do the Jewish people today remember it? Well, they remember it by acting it out. They build these temporary structures in their backyard or in their front yard, and many Jews, for each of the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, they have their evening meal with their family in this tent. They act out the Feast of Tabernacles. They act out what God did in saving them when they were in the wilderness. So also, baptism looks back at what God did to save us. It looks back at how God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for our wrongdoing, to die for our guilt and our shame. And God also sent him to rise from the dead to conquer the power of death. And so when Christians are baptized, they literally act out what God did. For example, when we go down under the water, that represents death. And by the way, if you think that is not a great illustration of death, I have a challenge for you. You go home today, fill up your bathtub with water, stick your head under the water, and I guarantee you that after about a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, you're going to begin to feel real panic. You're going to think you're dying. And after about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, you will die. Going down under the water is a tremendously powerful symbol of death. And when people do that, when they're baptized and they go into the water, they are saying that when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all my guilt, all my shame, all my wrongdoing, the power of those things died when Jesus died. And now they don't have power over me anymore. And then when we come up out of the water, we are demonstrating, we are representing, we're symbolizing the resurrection. And we're saying, just as Jesus rose from death to life, so also I know that one day I will be raised from death to life. And already the resurrection power of Jesus is at work in me. At baptism, we act out what God did for us in sending Jesus into this world. And then third, baptism and the Feast of Tabernacles are both highlight water. As we look at at John chapter 7 in the weeks to come, we're going to see that a part of the Feast of Tabernacles had to do with water. Water was a very important symbol in celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, so much so that when Jesus preached on that day, he talked about water. And also, I don't have to tell you, water is very important to baptism. So the Feast of Tabernacles and baptism have a lot in common. Jesus knew that going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles was very dangerous for him, but he went anyway, because he wanted to obey God and he wanted to tell people about God. And so also, those who are baptized know that there is danger in baptism. In certain parts of the world, it is a very dangerous thing to do, because at many times in history and in many places around the world, there are people in positions of power who are not fans of Christianity. They are opponents. They do not like the teaching of the gospel. They do not like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's another reason, there's another thing that baptism and the Feast of Tabernacles have in common. Both are very public. Both are very public events. You can't set up a sukkah in your yard, a tent, a tabernacle, and not have people see it, and not have people know that you're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. So also, you can't take part in a public service of baptism without people knowing what you're doing, without them knowing that you are following Jesus, that you're identifying yourself as one who belongs to him. And if your government or the people of your nation are offended by Christianity, then what you're doing could be very dangerous indeed. And then second, a baptism is dangerous because it can create misunderstanding among our family members. It can create misunderstanding among our family members. In verse 3 John writes this, Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples can see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Now, some people are surprised to learn that Jesus had brothers. Actually, they were not full brothers, they were half brothers. Jesus was the Son of God, and his mother was Mary, but he had brothers whose mother was also Mary, but their father was Joseph, and so they were half brothers of Jesus. And John tells us that at this point in time, they did not believe in Jesus. Now later, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, these brothers became believers, and we hear about two of them who were very prominent, James, a brother of Jesus who became one of the leaders in the church of Jerusalem, and Jude, another brother of Jesus who became very prominent in the church. So later they became believers, but at this point they weren't believers. And so they looked at Jesus and they saw what he was doing, the miracles he was doing, and they came to the decision that he was doing these things to be noticed. He was doing these things to make a name for himself. And so they say to Jesus, "Look, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles is coming. And you know that the law requires everyone who can travel, everyone who is physically able, to come to the city of Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So Jesus, everybody will be there. There's going to be a huge crowd of people there, and you can stand up, and you can do some more miracles, you can heal some people, maybe you can transform some more water into wine like you did at that wedding in Cana of Galilee, and everybody is going to want your autograph. Everybody's going to be interviewing you. You're going to be on the front page of the Jerusalem Post. You're going to be the most talked about person in Israel." Now, how did Jesus respond to this? Verse 6, John says, "Therefore Jesus told them, 'The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right.'" Jesus says, "I am doing this because I have a plan that's been given to me by God. I'm following God's plan. He is in control. I have to do what he tells me to do when he tells me to do it. You don't have a plan from God. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want, but I'm following God's timetable." And then he says, "The world cannot hate you." Remember, these brothers of Jesus, they were not believers. So the world did not hate them. The world loves its own, and they belong to the world. And Jesus says, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast because for me the right time has not yet come." Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. The brothers of Jesus had no idea why Jesus was going to the Feast of Tabernacles. They thought he wanted to go to show people that he was somebody, to make a name for himself. But actually, he was going to carry out the plan of God. He was going to tell people about the Savior who had come for them. In the same way, there are many people today who hear about folks being baptized and they have no idea what it's about. They have no idea why someone would be baptized. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the Bible. And baptism is a word they've heard before, but they have no idea why someone would want to be baptized. And so in their head, they come up with all sorts of reasons for why someone would be baptized. And they say things like this. "Well, you know, she's just trying to get attention. She wants to get up in front of people and have people notice her." Or they say, "Well, you know, the church leaders probably manipulated them. They probably told them what to do. And, you know, they're just doing it because they've been told to do it by these church people." Or some people say, "Oh, those people, they're trying to be super religious because they've got problems. They're afraid. They've got all sorts of concerns in their life. And they're hoping that by becoming super religious, all of those things are going to be taken away." Or sometimes they say this, "You know, those people who get baptized, there's something wrong. There's a screw loose. They just don't understand. They're just not all together. They've really got problems. And those who do not understand what baptism is about, those who do not know why people get baptized, some of those people may belong to our family. They may be our own family members, and they may have strange ideas about why it is we're getting baptized. And they may not like it at all that we're being baptized. Eilir and Kate Cammy write this: "For some years, we have worked with a ministry to refugees in Athens. Athens is part of the refugee highway, which people from around the world pass through on the road to a better life. In May of 2006, one of the missionaries in Athens, Callie Scafey, reported what happened to an Iranian man identified as M. In 2003, everything M knew was destroyed by an earthquake measuring 7.5 on the Richter scale. He was tortured by the question of why something like this would happen. M went to live with relatives in Afghanistan, was married and had a daughter, but he was still filled with despair. Leaving his family behind, M headed west and ended up in Athens, staying with more relatives. Though he and all his family were Muslim, M became interested in Christianity, finding himself strangely moved by the sight of all the crosses he saw decorating the Orthodox churches in the city. M was given a Bible and started reading. Since his relatives forbade such a thing, M used a tiny flashlight to read during the night after his uncles were asleep. He studied the Bible this way for 2 years. Finally, M realized that God was calling him to follow Jesus. He contacted the Refugee Ministry Center, declaring his faith in Christ and asking for more information. On Sunday, May 7th, 2006, M set his alarm for 6 a.m. He wanted to spend time reading his Bible and praying that morning because on that day, he was going to be baptized at a fellowship with other Iranian believers. But M's cousin had discovered the plan. Before M's alarm went off, the cousin boiled water in a saucepan and poured it on M while he slept, scalding both thighs and one arm. M came to the baptism anyway. Standing before those gathered, the burns on his arm clearly visible, M declared, "No matter what my family does to me, I will love Jesus." After the baptism, M said he felt like standing in the center of Athens and shouting to everyone, "I belong to Jesus." Second, baptism is dangerous because it can arouse misunderstanding and even hatred among our own family members. And then third, and finally, baptism is dangerous because it can divide our friends. It can divide our friends. In verse 10, John writes, "However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, 'Where is that man?' Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, 'He is a good man.' Others replied, 'No, he deceives the people.'" There was a crowd of people at the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, and there is usually a crowd when we have a baptismal service. There are many people who come to see the baptismal service, and there are people who will not come. There are crowds of people who stay away. And among these crowds, both crowds are usually friends of those who are being baptized. In other words, some of the friends of the two who are being baptized are here today, and some of their friends are not here. Some of their friends chose not to come. And the issue is baptism often divides friends. And the reason why that happens is spelled out in this text. It's because people have different opinions about who Jesus is. Some people say Jesus is good. Jesus is Savior. I know Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lord. He is the one who took away my guilt. He took away my shame. He saved me from despair. He's given me life. Jesus is good. And then there are some who say, no, Jesus deceives people. It's all a bunch of deception. Christianity is for weak people. It's for people who can't stand on their own two feet. It's for people who think they can't make life on their own. They can't do it on their own. And so they need somebody else. But it's all pretend. It's all phony. It's all deception. When it comes to Jesus, we all have friends who stand on one side or the other of that line. And so when we get baptized, we stand up in front of these people and we take our stand for Jesus. And the people who know Jesus, the people who love Jesus, the people who say Jesus is good, they're very happy that we got baptized. Those who think Jesus deceives, those who don't like Jesus, they're very unhappy that we got baptized. And they may drop us like yesterday's newspaper. Or they may try to get us to drop Jesus. And that's where the real danger comes in. What will our friends do when they find out that we're being baptized? And will we be afraid? Will we be afraid of how they respond? Jesse Rice is a young Christian woman. She wrote a book called The Church of Facebook, How the Wireless Generation is Redefining Community. And she wrote a little piece, very interesting, called An Open Letter to My Fear of What Others Think. And this is what she says. Dear fear of what others think, I'm sick of you, and it's time we broke up. I know we've broken up and gotten back together many times, but seriously, fear of what others think, this is it. We're breaking up. I'm tired of overthinking my status updates on Facebook, trying to sound more clever, more funny, and more important. I'm sick of feeling anxious about what I say or do in public, especially around people I don't know, all in the hope that they will like me, accept me, praise me. I run around all day feeling like a golden retriever, panting, like me, like me, like me. Because of you, I go through my day with a cloud of shame hanging over my head, and I never stop acting. The spotlight's always on, and I'm center stage, and I'd better keep dancing, smiling, laughing, or else the spotlight will move, and I'll dissolve into a little meaningless puddle on the ground. I can never live up to the expectations of my imaginary audience, the one that lives only in my head, but whose collective voice is louder than any other voice in the universe. And all of this is especially evil because if I really stop and think about it and let things go quiet and listen patiently for the voice of the God who made me and the Savior who died for me, in His eyes, it turns out, I'm actually profoundly precious, lovable and worthy. When I find my true identity in Christ, then you turn back into the tiny, yapping little dog that you are. So beat it, fear of what others think. You and I are done. And no, I'm not interested in talking it through. I'm running, jumping, laughing you out of my life once and for all. Or at least, that's what I really, really want. God, help me. Baptism is dangerous because it can divide our friends, and we have to decide how we're going to respond to those friends who think that our getting baptized is the worst thing we've ever done. How are we going to respond to those people who don't like the idea that we are following Jesus Christ? And so baptism is dangerous. But there is also a very positive side to all this. Let me remind you of something. Many times in life, the most dangerous things are also the most worthwhile. Take love, for example. Do you realize what kind of danger love exposes you to? Love is dangerous because it can expose us to the possibility of having our heart ripped out of our chest and stomped on by someone. Love exposes us to the risk of being rejected, but love also opens up to us the possibility of meaning and fulfillment and joy unlike anything we've imagined. And so, yes, baptism is very dangerous, but baptism also is worthwhile. And we read about that in verse 14 of our text. John says, "Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach." Jesus went to the Feast of Tabernacles for two reasons. First of all, because he wanted to be obedient to God. He wanted to do what God had called him to do. Despite the danger, he understood how much joy there would be in doing what God had called him to do. And the second reason Jesus took on that danger is because he wanted to teach people about God. He wanted to have that opportunity to stand up and say to people, "All of you who are looking for living water, for water that will never run dry, you come to me. I'm here, and I can give you life. I can do something for your soul, your heart, your spirit that you cannot even imagine. Come to me, and I will give you life." Jesus wanted to be able to share that message with people. And the same is true for those who get baptized. That's why, even though baptism is dangerous, we get baptized because first, we want to be obedient to Jesus. Jesus said, "I want you to follow me. I want you to be courageous enough to identify yourself with me. Let people know that you belong to me." And when we do that, Jesus is pleased. But the second reason we get baptized is so that we can have the opportunity, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to stand up and tell our friends, our family members, the people who know us, "I belong to Jesus. No matter what anybody says or does, he has given me life, and I belong to him." Is baptism dangerous? Yes, it is. Is it perilous? Yes, it is. Will people misunderstand? Very probably. Will people maybe change their opinion of me because I get baptized? That's possible. Are there going to be misunderstandings among my family members? Yeah, probably. But baptism is worthwhile because it gives us the chance to tell people what Jesus has done for us. And when we do that, the Bible says, when we stand up and say, "I belong to Jesus," the Bible says that in heaven, Jesus turns to God the Father and he says, "You see that one? That one belongs to me." Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we know that baptism is perilous, it's dangerous. For some people, it's more dangerous than others. For some people, it brings physical persecution. For some people, it brings disagreement with friends or family members. For some people, it opens up chasms of misunderstanding. But we know that baptism is always dangerous. It's always perilous. But you've called us not to be afraid. You've called us to stand up and with joy and boldness tell the world that we belong to you. God, I pray for those two who are doing that today. Thank you for their courage. Thank you for their willingness to obey you and to tell others what you mean to them. Lord, bless them today. If there's anyone here today who is a follower of Jesus but who has not yet made that step of facing the peril, the danger of baptism, Lord, give them courage today. Help them to have the strength to do it, to understand what it can mean to them, and to understand what it means to you when we obey. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand.